Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. I'm not usually one who remembers my dreams. I've never really been able to. I know there are people out there that have these really intense and vivid dreams. I've just never been one of them. On very rare occasions, I will experience that strange liminal space between waking and sleeping, where I can't quite tell if I'm just thinking about something or dreaming about something. And then my wife will say something to me, and I'll respond with something out of this weird dreamlike state. And then she will just have this look on her face that tells me my ramblings make no sense. And because of this experience I've had with dreaming or lack thereof, I've always found the practice of trying to interpret dreams to be interesting. There are so few dreams throughout my life that I've actually been able to remember, and the ones that I do are so weird and wild that I can't believe they possibly have any bearing on life in this world. So it's intriguing to me that people can make heads or tails of the visions that they have while they're asleep. It would seem like Joseph from today's reading is one of those kinds of people. His dreams and his ability to interpret others' dreams figure very prominently in this epic story that we just read snippets of this morning. So, if you're not familiar with this story, or even if you are familiar with it and you've basked in all of the technicolor goodness of Donny Osmond and his dream coat, I still want to encourage you to go home and read the full story after church sometime today. It starts in chapter 37, and it continues and finishes the book of Genesis in chapter 50. It's a story that is filled with dreams and drama. There's family dysfunction, there's political intrigue, there's seduction. It's a rich and fun story, and in this brief sermon, I can't do the whole thing justice. So today, I want to fasten our attention on just one particular verse. And it comes at the end of the reading. It's verse 20 from chapter 50. Joseph says, "Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good." And I have to say that this verse is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. I find it to be so important, so helpful. Above many other things that I've learned in studying Scripture, it's this verse that has at times helped me to continue to have faith when things are hard in my life, or when things are ugly in the world. But before I explain why, I need to give you a quick recap as to how we got to this moment in this story. Joseph, as you might know, is the 11th of 12 children, and he is his dad, Jacob's favorite. Jacob, who we read about last week, was one of the two sons of Isaac, who was the long-promised child of Abraham. This is how this story got rolling a few weeks ago. And as we heard Pastor Grangard read, Joseph had some big dreams, which he made the mistake of sharing with his brothers. They get so annoyed with his dreams that they hatch a plot to kill Joseph. But instead, they decide to sell him into slavery. And the slavers take him to Egypt. In Egypt, Joseph rises to prominence in Potiphar's house. Potiphar is a rich and influential man. But after being falsely accused of an attempted seduction of Potiphar's wife, Joseph is imprisoned. While in prison, Joseph interprets the dreams of Pharaoh's cupbearer and Pharaoh's baker. Later, Joseph interprets Pharaoh's own dreams of an impending famine, which leads to Joseph's promotion. He becomes the second most powerful person in all of Egypt. Shortly after that, after the dreamt of famine, it happens, and it causes Jacob's family to come to Egypt for food, because Joseph has figured out a way to store up food for the famine. Joseph's brothers are worried about greeting their brother again because of what they did to him. They're expecting retribution. Instead, Joseph offers them forgiveness. And it's at this moment, at this point in the story, that I find Joseph's ability to interpret, to make sense of the world around him, so beautiful. It's when he says, "Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good." In this moment, Joseph is somehow able to look back on his whole life. He's able to reflect on the heartache and the betrayal, the opportunities that presented themselves, the setbacks, the deep loneliness, and profound moments of restoration that he experienced. And through it all, he is able to perceive God as being active in his life. He sees that God has been busy. And that's what I love so much about this moment, and why I think this verse is so powerful. Joseph doesn't say that God caused these things to happen, but instead he says God found a way to be at work in and through the events as they were unfolding. God didn't make Joseph's brothers sell him into slavery. God didn't cause Potiphar's wife to try and seduce Joseph so that he'd end up in prison. God didn't cause the famine. But instead, God was at work trying to bring about the best possible outcome from these really difficult situations. And Joseph is able to interpret, make sense of this peculiar but life-giving way that God is at work in the world. Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good. God doesn't give you cancer or cause your spouse to lose your job, or give your friend a mental health issue to deal with, or send a storm, or cause countries to go to war. I don't believe that's the case. I can't believe in a God who creates suffering so that someone else can learn a lesson. There is randomness and evil and sin in this world that creates the conditions for so much pain that we see. But I don't believe, and I can't believe, that God is the cause of it. I do believe, though, and I hope, and I trust in a God that is always and forever trying to make a way forward where there is no way. I believe and I hope and I trust in a God who is at work in the most difficult situations, trying to create goodness and life and love where there was once only evil and death and destruction. I believe and I hope and I trust in a God who loves us so much that in Jesus he chose to enter into the fullness of this life, all of its joy and heartache, all of its beauty and its pain, so that we might come to know and trust that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. I believe and trust and hope in a God that even now, in a world that feels scary and threatening and dark, I believe in a God that is still creating goodness and light and love this day and always. Amen.